Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And I got GQ coming.
Holy shit, man.
So I got to deal with they.
Yeah, that's the thing about if you do what I do and talk how I talk, GQ don't talk to you.
You watched the Barbie movie?
I'm not going to know. I didn't watch the Barbie movie, and I didn't like it if I had seen it.
But trapping doesn't necessarily mean selling drugs. Like, you on tour. Touring is trapping.
Okay, I'll call it that.
You trapping, man. You out here hustling.
Yeah, man, I've been trapping for weeks now. And
it's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go. Let's go. It's the Danny Brown Show. Sit back, relax, you already know why you make studios. Yeah. It's the Danny Brown Show. We about to get live. Let's go. Let's go.
Yo, 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 what's up, dude? It's the Danny Brown Show coming to y'all live from YMA Studios here in Austin, Texas. I got the Booth Boys with me. How y'all fellas doing?
Great.
What's up, Danny?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. Chilling, chilling. We got none other than Willa Walker Jr. in the house, man. How
what's
you doing,
up,
man?
Good to see you.
Thanks for coming.
I'm very
through,
happy
man.
To be here. Big fan.
Oh, shit. Likewise, man. You make some fucking dirty ass songs. So
you know
we
what?
Definitely have that connection.
Years ago when I started hearing your shit, I was like, man, this would be a good guy to collaborate with one of these days.
Hell yeah, man. I'm down. Definitely yeah. down.
Do you remember like a year ago, we met in the lobby here when I was doing
yeah,
Tom
definitely.
And Christina's show, and I said, I'd love to have you on a song, but I go, my beats are kind of country. I don't know if and you,
you remember, I can rap to anything.
Do you remember what you said? You said the exact same thing. You go, dude, I could rap to anything.
I can. That's just like, I guess that's one of my... I don't know. That's like my humble brag.
I almost thought about you on the new record. I should have had you
yeah,
on.
Yeah, should have hit me up, man.
We'll do some remixes. We'll get
I'm definitely, on those. And I definitely love to always experiment with different genres. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying?
Yeah, well, my but new album's a little more rock, so I think you could probably...
No, that's easy.
Yeah, you could probably do that even easier.
I definitely... So you got the new album. So was that... how was the process? What was the whole thought process behind going more in a rock direction?
Well, to be honest with you... Country right now is just turned into fucking lame, shitty pop, and I kind of wanted to. I've always been more into like. The reason why I love your shit is because I like music that's fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like good country used to be hard. You know, like
yeah.
fucking Waylon and shit.
Yeah.
Willie, the old shit
them
was
because they was gangsters.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
They were literally gangsters. Yeah, they had guns on
mm-hmm,
them and shit.
Yeah.
And then now it's just pussies playing pop music. I'm like, I don't want to be associated with this shit. So I'll just make some fucking rock music and fucking crank it up. And yeah, it's been cool. The audience finally we get to do fucking lights and cool
oh,
shit at the shows.
Yeah.
And man, can I say one thing before I keep going?
Yeah.
So I decided, and you can relate to this. I decided I'm gonna start because my last tour I got a little too fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
This tour I'm gonna do a sober tour.
Oh shit!
And I just had two coffees and an allergy pill, and I'm fucking flying right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I know. That's the crazy part, man. Coffee, man, I swear that shit is like one step from Coke sometime, man.
I'm telling you, this heavy allergy pill's got me going crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I swear.
So that's my adult getting fucked
I've
up.
I've definitely been, I had some of that strong fucking Colombian coffee or some shit and be like, what the fuck did I just do, man?
I don't know
like,
what's going on. I
shit
feel
got
like,
my heart beating fast. I'm sweating, like all type of shit, man.
I feel like I'm on drugs right now.
So yeah, motherfuckers that can drink like 7 cups of coffee a day, man, I'm like, that's just like, you definitely like one step from being a cokehead. Like, I swear to God. But, you know, the older you get, man, you be needing that caffeine, man.
Amen, yeah. I just woke up from the bus and I'm like, I needed it.
So you on tour now?
Yeah, we're playing tonight here.
Oh, where at?
I think the Moody Theater.
Oh shit. Yeah. All right, that's what's up, man.
Someone told me it's scalable, like you can make it up. And so I was like, so if my show, that they can scale it down to like 10 people? I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. But yeah, the movie theater is a big venue, man. It's
yeah.
definitely, I've been to a few shows there. It's definitely a
come
dope,
tonight, man.
It's definitely, I have so much fucking shit that I got to do, man. But if I definitely can make some time, I definitely will.
Sounds like you and the rest of Austin got a lot of shit to do tonight. So you going around doing press and shit?
Yeah, man. And it's been
I fucking hate
photo
that.
Shoots after photo shoots. Fucking, I got GQ coming.
Holy shit, man.
So I got to deal with they.
Yeah, that's the thing about if you do what I do and talk how I talk, GQ don't talk to you. Yeah, my press tour is like it. This is my, you're at my press tour.
Yo,
right
shit,
now.
Yeah. God damn it. Well, I'm glad, I'm happy that you fucking pulled up on me, man. Yeah.
This is it. That's all I got.
But yeah, man, fucking, I mean, I'm a fly motherfucker, though. You know
yeah, but I'm saying you got
so.
Style. I got nothing.
So I don't even think it has anything to do with my music. I think it's more so the way I look and shit. But I mean, I guess that's a good compliment for myself.
Well, you gotta get attention some way.
Yeah. You know.
But your music's
but,
fucking
but
killer.
Country music never been like into like fashion and shit. That
well, no, they all
dress
the fuck. I mean, this is like a $10 Wrangler shirt. Mm-hmm. I got like 20 of them. That's what I wear.
But no, I will say I definitely, you know, messed around with some Western gear. And some of that shit get expensive, man. Them boots
and
shit.
Oh, yeah, they got dudes who...
$2,000 boots and shit.
I know dudes who've got the exact same shirt as this, but they paid... $2,000
for
yeah.
With so
some
it's not
designer.
Like that shit don't be cheap. Like you can definitely even the hats and shit, man. I've seen fucking. I was like, God damn! I thought this shit was nah, man. That shit's some baller shit too.
See, I thought about this early when I did my first album cover. I bought the cheapest version of everything, knowing I would have to wear it all the time. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to have to like get 10 backups of some $1,000 hat or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So I like bought the cheapest version of everything, which I'm kind of regretting now.
Because it kind of get fucks up quicker. Or shit
yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, and then. It's hard to find, you know. This hat better last me the rest of my life. I can't find another one.
All right, we'll jump into some of these Ask Danny's, man. You can always hit me up, Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. That's Danny@thedannybrownshow.com. First up, we got Half Ass Peen.
Ask Danny.
Hey, Danny. I've been talking to this guy for about 3 years.
Half Ass Peen?
Yeah.
Okay.
We are in no way in a relationship, but we just fucking. Recently, in the past year, we haven't been fucking like we used to, and he keeps saying he always tired and shit, but calling me over at 2 a.m. when he get done trapping. My question is, should I continue to go over his house and get half-ass pain, or should I just let it go? Also, shouts out to your barber. Love your cuts. Yours truly, Green Hair Baldy. I mean, sometimes, man, motherfuckers just be tired, man. That's really some truth to that shit, but not necessarily probably tired and, like, physical. You just tired of that pussy, man. You know what I'm saying? After a while, man, you just need to get some new pussy, man.
Yeah,
so,
I think if they got half-ass pain, you gotta cut that shit off, I think.
Yeah, I mean, or it could be something in his diet. You know what I'm saying? He got to get some magnesium and shit up in his system, man. He's just ain't been, you know, out there. Long day of trapping, man. Last thing you thinking about some pussy, man. You know, it's a rough road out there trapping, man. So
what does that mean, long day
selling
of trapping?
Selling drugs.
Oh, okay. See, I don't know this shit.
Yeah, trapping is selling drugs. Yeah. Mac and my, we didn't call it trapping. We just called it slanging. So
I don't see. Look who you're talking to. What do you call it? White people shit?
Yeah, white people.
We don't know that. Trapping.
Trapping, yeah. I mean, but I actually love that term better than slanging because trapping, it kind of has some like social commentary within it. I mean, trapping. If you're selling drugs, you're trapped. You're just putting yourself in a cycle.
I hear that. I'm going to start saying that when I get back to Nashville.
Yeah, I mean, trapping, but trapping doesn't necessarily mean selling drugs. Like, you on tour. Touring is trapping.
Okay, I'll call it that.
You're trapping, man. You
yeah,
out
man,
here
I've hustling. I've been trapping for weeks now. When does this fucking trap end?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, trapping doesn't necessarily mean... It just means hustling. It's just another way of saying hustling. Yeah. You know what
but
I'm saying?
But is the music business... That's the perfect name
it's
for that.
It's a trap!
The music business is trapping nonstop.
Yeah, music business is trapping, definitely, man.
Because there's no... It is a fucking trap.
Yeah, once you get in it, you can't get out. They motherfucking got your publisher.
They got everything, yeah.
They motherfucking try to get another job. They start garnishing your checks and shit. Like, hold up, nigga. You still owe me from that album. You wouldn't have read...
Yeah, man, you got to watch that shit, or you, yeah. I got a lot, unfortunately, the people who watch my shit, they're trapping, too, and they're
yeah,
fucking me.
Yeah, they trapping.
Yeah.
All right, next up we got, Is This The Move? What's up, Danny? My ex hit me up out of nowhere telling me she's moving next month and wants me to move in with her. It's kind of weird because we don't even talk that often, and this is some out of left field shit. What should I do? Alexander. Moving in with an ex, man. I mean, if that's a tricky, man. Moving in with a woman is definitely a slippery slope, man.
It's a slippery slope, but it's also moving in with an ex sounds, I can't tell if it's worse or better.
No, I don't know, man. It's because, I mean, is that,
I'd never do
with
it.
With the intentions of getting back, yeah, I wouldn't do that shit either, man. I almost think like this bitch setting me up to kill me or some shit, man. Like that don't sound like the move. But no, yeah, if it's, especially if it's some left field shit, man, I wouldn't. I mean, just moving in with a woman anyway, unless you
Are you paying all the bills? You know, like, what's the bill situation?
Well, you know? The way what you said before is what I thought about. I was like, is this like a horror movie, you know?
Yeah.
Is it's like a trick to get you in there and then...
I mean, she an ex for a reason. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know, man. I mean...
I will say with rent nowadays, maybe people just have to start living with their exes.
I've seen it in New York. Motherfuckers been broke up for years, but they still live together because they can't find nowhere else to go. Like, hold up. This two-bedroom costs a little... Hold up, man. We got to stay here, man. So, I don't know, man. Yeah, man, that's a crazy one. I guess depending on where y'all living at in the economy of that place, man, because I'm pretty sure, like, a lot of these places like New York and L.A., man, you don't really got no choice, man, especially when you find in spots, like, especially places where it's just, like, there's more people there than ever, so it's like...
I bet that's happening more in, like, New York and L.A. shit, where it's like, we're breaking up, I'm going back to my room.
Yeah, like, we ain't together no more, but we ain't going to be able to find a good rent like this. This is a great spot, man.
We're in a rent-controlled place,
We got to stick this out. All right, next up, we got Terza. Hey, Danny and the Booth Boy, I saw you shared you were listening to the new Terza album. I love seeing one of my favorite artists like another one of my favorite artists. What do you think of her new album? What else you been listening to, lady? Cheers, Danny. See you on December 4th in London. Gunny. Oh, yeah, I love that fucking album, man. I'm more of a just UK shit, but I definitely say, man, I just really love the cohesion of that album. It's one of those ones you can just put on and just let it flow. I mean, just that whole concept of her using the piano with the break beats and shit like that. So, and she has a beautiful voice, you know, the songwriting. It just gives me that. It makes me feel like I'm in London. That's the kind of album that I love. Terza, she's dope as fuck, man.
I'll listen to that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a moody album. It's very dark in some sense, but it's a vibe, you know?
Like, well, I'm always looking for new hip-hop. You know, I think that streaming has some ways hurt it, because what I used to do is I'd go to the record store, and I'd be like, who's the new Run? Because Run DMC was my first hip-hop artist, my favorite still, and I'd be like, who's the new Run DMC? Who's the new, I go to the record store. Nowadays, I'll just be on Spotify. I just listen to Run DMC.
Yeah, but I will say another good thing. I feel what you're saying too. But I do like, you know, you listen to enough albums and shit, and it start giving you those recommendations. Your algorithm.
Yeah, they seem to send me the fucking.
No,
more shit.
I've actually got up on some dope shit where, you know, just from recommendations, like, oh shit, this. Okay, you check it out.
Well, here's a guy recommendation. I love Run DMC. Who should I be listening to?
I mean.
I know
Run DMC is like 30 years old.
I know, I'm fucking old. But I'm saying, who's the new? You're hard. Who else is hard out there?
In that reign of like just hip hop, like I don't know, man. I'm trying to think of what would be like.
Or just give me anybody
in that lane. Me, I've been listening to a lot of fucking. I've been listening to just a lot of UK shit. Like,
really?
Oh yeah, like a lot of drum and bass. And
I had an Uber driver the other day told me the best hip hop was coming from the UK. I thought he was joking.
I mean, grime has always been one of my top genres. Like that new Streets album, I really love. But no, I mean, as far as like hard shit, man, like I don't know, man, because I feel like I've been listening to like a lot of hyper pop and shit. Like I listen to like 100 Gex and like Frost Children, and I don't know. I think once I kind of got sobered up and shit, certain music don't hit the same. Like, I just not about to sit around and listen to a motherfucker talking about killing me and fucking my bitch for 2 hours. It's like, hold up, man. I need something that's going to make me happy or put me in a good mood. So I can't say I've really been listening to much hip-hop. I love that new Mike album. Yeah, man.
Mike? Not Killer Mike, just Mike.
No, Mike, just Mike. But the new Killer album, the Killer Mike album is good as
I'll
well. That's something you should check out.
Yeah,
I would feel like that would be more.
I love Killer Mike. Yeah, I'll listen to that.
Killer Mike new album is great. It's actually fucking nominated for some Grammys, man. So we're going to pray up for my homie. Hope he win, man. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, so I've probably more so been into instrumental shit.
That helps me sleep a lot of the time.
Yeah, and I don't know, it makes me feel like I'm in my own superhero movie. You know what I'm saying? Where you just got a beat playing and you just walking around and shit. You're like, oh shit. But I've been just so much focused on making my own music, man. Sometimes when I'm like in recording mode and making music mode, I don't like to listen to outside. I will listen to like older shit just that I listened to as a kid just to, you know, inspire me and make me realize what I loved about that shit and try to implement that into what I'm doing.
That's what I usually do. When I make a new record, I go while I'm listening to the record, I don't want to listen to any new shit. Yeah. I just go to the old shit.
Because it kind of just, I don't know, it's hard not to, you know, start thinking, and especially when certain shit is popular, you just be like, oh, this is what they fucking with, you know, and it's just, I don't know. Not that it's fucking like, because that's one thing I hate is being like considered a biter.
Oh, no one's ever accused me of that. But yeah, I want to make. I don't listen to, as far as country goes, ain't been good new country for fucking 20 years, so I don't listen to any of that shit.
So what is your process like, as far as like when you're coming up with these songs and shit?
Well,
like,
what I do is I try to, I come up with, like, I just, what I do is I think, and it's probably similar to you, I think, what's the most fucked up stories I can think of about my life or my friend's life, and then just go backwards from there. I'll just start playing guitar and like, this sounds hooky or catchy, and then I'll just be like, what kind of rhymes with this? I go backwards. Like, this is a catchy sounding melody, and I'll go, what's a fucked up story that goes along to it, you know, from my life? Or sometimes the songs are about.
Oh, so you're saying you write hook first?
Yeah, I do. I'll be humming.
Yeah, I write hook first too.
Yeah, cool.
I do hook once because I feel like, I mean, you know, that's the strongest part. So it's like.
I always feel like my albums would be the same if I was just humming. And but then when I decide to put lyrics on, fucking shit come up first. So that's that's what gets me in trouble with the algorithms and shit. So I got a question for you. So the new record that's out, this was made back when you were fucked up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So is it weird promoting an album that you're...
No, I feel like it would have been, but the more, you know, I just get caught up into just being sober and my sobriety and everything and recovery. It's a part of my story.
But is it kind of like you're another guy made it a little bit?
No, because it's a part of my story. And to me, I feel like this is a beautiful ending to it.
So cool. For people that's a cool way of looking at it, man.
Make it out of that. You know what I'm saying? I get hit up by a lot of people all the time. I'm inspiring them and, you know, to take the steps to get help and do things like that. So it would be one thing if I was putting this album out when I was still fucked up.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the fact that I'm doing way better. I'm happier with my life and everything. So I want people to see the darkness and show them I'm living in the light now. You know what I'm saying?
That's actually a cool way to look at it, is you're promoting an album with positivity, but the album has darkness. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, but you know, it's like, for me, I feel like I'm closing a chapter with that. You know what I'm saying?
Cool.
Like with all the albums that I made, I feel like this is the end, this is the last chapter, and I'm closing a book on that part of my life. And you know, so, and it's like even me performing, I thought it would be weird for me to like perform these songs about me getting fucked up and shit like that. But at the end of the day, it's like that was a part of my story. So for people to, you know, see me, you know, come from that into where I'm at now, man, it's like, you know, I would feel like a super hypocrite if I just now be like, I'm on some all sober shit. Because I always hated those people.
Yeah, I'm with you. Well, one of my tours recently, so I got really fucked up on that tour. And I came back and I was I don't want to get into details, but I ended up on fucking IVs. I was like out of it. And I've been kind of, I don't want to cause controversy, but I've been kind of on this more sober end since that. And I've been certainly on tour. You can't get fucked up on tour. It's too hard. So my first show back sober was like, I got so nervous. Once you get that first one out of the way, it's so easy to perform.
That's really how my drinking really started. Like I never really was like a heavy drinker, but it started with touring, and I would be so nervous to go on stage. And I have those couple drinks, and then everything would become fun.
After I went to the hospital, it's weird you say that. I was like, you know, I can't. How am I going to not go on tour with? How am I going to go on tour without without drinking? It seemed impossible. But it's kind of cool to wake up in the morning and not feel like fucking
shit.
Who
you telling? That's the one thing I do not miss. I always thought it was making it easier for me because I was able to go on stage and have fun and, you know, be drinking and shit. But I realized how much harder I was just making everything else.
Well, let me tell you this. I don't know if I'm not interrupting, am I?
No.
So I came back from a tour and I got back. I went to the grocery. I'm at the checkout and I'm talking to the clerk. I've been back for a week of just being completely fucked up. And she was checking out my fucking food, and I just fucking barfed on the fucking thing.
Oh, shit.
And she was like, you know, do you need me to call a doctor? I was like, no. Then I couldn't find my fucking car. and I didn't know who to call. So at the time, it was before I met my wife and shit. I called my cousin, can you pick me up at the grocery? I don't know where my car is. I just barfed on the checkout lady. And she came and picked me up and took me to the hospital.
Oh, shit.
They put me up on IVs, and I'm like, okay, it's time to maybe quit acting like a fucking dipshit. And kind of got my shit together after that.
All right, we're jumping into some white people shit.
Well, you got the right guy for that.
White people shit.
Renaissance fairs. Dear Danny, I think it's pretty obvious that Renaissance fairs are white people shit. They go into costume and role play as if they were in the back of medieval England. I've never been to one, but I'm curious what you think of them. And if you would attend, apparently some of them have cleavage contests. By the way, I love you. Love Shayna. No, I think that's just like cultural shit.
Yeah, I'm real fucking white. I don't know what the fuck
that
is.
Yeah, Renaissance fairs, man. I love those dresses they wear. That's like cool shit. I mean, you know, I just think it's certain cultural shit, man. That's just like a cultural thing, man. And I would definitely love to attend, but I think it's a lot of heavy drinking goes on at Renaissance fairs, I would like to think. But yeah, no, it definitely seemed like a good time. It's more of a cultural thing, which I guess white people shit could be considered cultural in some sense.
Yeah, it's kind of like the video game guys who dress up like the characters.
Like cosplay?
Yeah.
Yeah, in that sense, it's like it is. That, yeah. It is like...
It's more
like,
nerdy than anything.
What?
It's like, but I guess nerd, and nowadays nerdy, I think, is white.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. Nerd is his own genre. It's not even a race. That's just...
Yeah, I would say nerd knows no color.
Yeah, nerd knows no color, trust me. But, because I would say, if anything, man, nothing more nerdy than like those... I'm gonna say that. All right.
No, say it.
That was like Indian dudes doing that. When you call it, be like the niggas that work at T-Mobile and shit. Them like the worst. All right.
I don't think they're dressing. What are they dressing up as?
They would be the nerdiest motherfuckers ever.
Dressing up like a guy who works at T-Mobile.
They would be the nerdiest motherfuckers ever. Yeah. That's what it got. All right. Next up, we got Forklift Super Bowl. Hey, Danny, much love from the UK. I really love the podcast. It's absolutely brilliant to listen to you on the way to work. And as someone raised not far from Detroit, you didn't get to say you're from the UK. I can listen to some of the things you mentioned and make me miss the meeting. Okay. Anyway, I was scrolling through Instagram the other day and came across Stapler Cup, which I believe is a competitive forklift event held in Germany. To be fair, it was quite entertaining. Is that some white people shit or what? Big up, Booth Boys. Keep up the good work. LKG. Now, I don't know what the Stapler Cup is. I never heard of no shit like this. You know about this, any?
Bro, it's white people shit, but it's fire.
Oh, yeah,
you gotta see this shit. This shit.
I don't know what this is.
They fucking balancing tires on forklifts and shit.
Das große Finale. Es geht um die deutsche Meisterschaft im Staplerfahren und das beste nationale und internationale Team. Die besten Staplerheldinnen und Helden aus 23 Regionalmeisterschaften haben sich qualifiziert. 4 Wettbewerbe, 15 Mannschaften in der Firmenteammeisterschaft, 12 Damen und 23 Herren in den Einzeldisziplinen. Diesmal auch wieder dabei der Nations Cup. Mannschaften aus 10 Ländern treten gegeneinander an. Mit Teamplay und geballter Stapler.
It's a bad video.
Das Tolle an dem Stapler Cup ist definitiv.
I just get PTSD every time motherfuckers talk German. I watch so much German porn because them motherfuckers be disgusting. So every time I just hear some motherfuckers.
I've never seen German porn.
Just,
what's German? Is it German?
They be doing
porn?
Some shit. They be fucking. The motherfuckers get nasty in Germany, man. They got some shit going on. I mean, what they don't do is the question.
I've never seen German porn.
Yeah, so I've just been So German, they give me but. Yeah, that used to be one of my favorite genres, German porn.
So you would actually search German?
Yeah, you can just click it. They definitely have their own section because they be doing some crazy shit. German motherfuckers, man. Yeah, it's just nasty over there, man. But actually, every time I've been to Germany, man, it's always been a good time. I've always had fun in Germany.
I've never been. I wonder if they dig my music in Germany.
I think country. I don't know. Does country leave the States?
I don't. That's a good question. What's weird is just the other day, my people were asking me that we're getting some offers in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Do you think I should go? I don't know if I want to.
Yeah,
go.
Definitely. I mean, it's nothing like, you know, seeing the world and just exploring different cultures and shit. Just for that reason alone. I mean, and I'm pretty. I literally was asking that question because I'm never really heard of anyone talk about country music outside of America.
I think what worries me is I think they want to see me as like just to like look at me and point like you know, look at this.
But I'm
redneck.
Saying every genre of music has to have fans everywhere. So I'm pretty sure it's someone in fucking, you know, anywhere, of course.
If someone told me there's a lot of rednecks in Australia.
Definitely. Probably. I would definitely.
Never
so
been.
Yeah, I could see people listening to country music in Australia.
I see Spotify shit. My biggest fan is definitely US. And then I think it's maybe Australia.
I can see Australia.
And a lot of the weird like Sweden and shit like that.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure. Yeah, of course. Like
it's definitely. Deep down American
but
thing.
It's really like America's genre like that's American music like you know like
well isn't all but all music is American music
yeah I guess
the good music
and I think about it I mean yeah in some sense huh
like, I mean I don't you know no one's ever I guess some of the early like you know Beatles and shit they took American
but
music
were,
and
but they were like
but they took it
from America.
They took it from
too.
America. And none of it. No one. There's not a genre of music where you go, man. That started in fucking Germany.
I mean, yeah, I guess. I'm kind of my mind's kind of blown right now because even when I think of like a lot of the like electronic music and shit, it was inspired from shit motherfuckers was doing in the States and But I mean, I'm pretty sure. Don't get me to start lying and talking shit, man. So
yeah, whatever, no, man. Everything good is American. I'll say it. I don't want to get you in trouble.
I wouldn't say not far as like fashion shit.
No, I'm not talking about fashion. Like, I'm talking about music.
Clothes. Oh, music. Yeah, I bet. But
I'm not saying all the good shit is American. I'm saying it all started here.
Oh yeah, it would start, but then they will always put this crazy experimental take on it. Then we get it back, and you know, it's just. I don't know. I do love that about music in some sense, how motherfuckers push each other creatively in that sense, where you're like, oh, these motherfuckers doing this shit.
And you know what's a weird thing is someone told me once, he had his theory on, and he was kind of a smart music guy. He said, America has the best solo artists, but Europe has the best bands. He says, because Americans are more selfish. Because if you look at the greatest artists of all time, it's kind of, Beatles were a group, the Stones were a group, but mm-hmm. then it's like Elvis, Dylan, you know. There's no real, who's the best American band of all
You're
time?
Right.
There's no great American band.
You're right.
Because it started, and I'm gonna throw out something. It started when Aerosmith got inducted to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I think it was Kid Rock called them the greatest American band of all time, and everyone made fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
But then they're like, well, who is it? There's no great American band. Because all the bands were from Europe.
You're right.
Because the Americans were all Elvis and
mm-hmm. solo,
you know,
type
Muddy
shit.
Waters and you know solo. Yeah.
Damn, I didn't think about that. But yeah,
because they want all the money
to that.
They wanted their money for themselves. They didn't want to split it with three other dudes.
I mean, when you out here trapping, man, you can't be splitting the pile up 50 ways, man. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Elvis was getting ripped off by his manager. He didn't want to split that with three other dudes.
Yeah, fuck that shit, man. I actually seen that Elvis movie.
Fleetwood Mac was a good American band.
I actually seen that recently on a plane. I'm like, all right, I'm going to watch this Elvis movie. It wasn't bad.
It was weird. I thought I was going to hate it, and it actually turned out no, it was kind of cool.
Same with you. I'm like, I know there's about to be some bullshit. But I guess when you're coming into it with low expectations.
I was going
to
say the best movies are the ones where this is going to be shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I watch it. Like, I watched. Actually, I'm not even going to say it'll ruin my image, but. I was gonna say something about that had the word Barbie in it, but I'm not gonna
you
say
watched
it.
The Barbie movie?
I'm not gonna no, I didn't watch the Barbie movie and I didn't like it if okay. I had seen it. But I did watch the Elvis movie thinking this is gonna be some fucking bullshit and it mm-hmm. was fucking pretty it was pretty
yeah,
cool.
I but like you said,
but whenever you watch a movie thinking it's low expectations, maybe Barbie, I'm not gonna say. But if you watch a movie thinking it's gonna suck and it doesn't completely fucking suck, it's still pretty good.
My girl was watching the Barbie movie, and I seen a couple scenes from it, and it seemed pretty dope. I understand it like it was like some female empowerment type of
yeah.
Type
I don't,
of deal.
I did not want my wife with any female empowerment. That's what, but I did fall asleep during it.
But so yeah, I actually seen that, and I thought that was a good message from it. From what I was seeing, I was like, oh, that seemed pretty dope. That seemed pretty dope. But it was not. I mean, I'm not a movie watching motherfucker, to be honest.
I'm with you, kind of planes. Touring is when I watch the most.
Yeah,
I'll
if I'm on a plane or something, and I'm like, all right, fuck it, my Steam Deck is dead. I watch a movie, you know, tired of listening to podcasts and shit. I watch it, you know, especially when you got like that 2 hours left. You're like, oh, this movie's it's going to knock. You know, by the time I'm done, we'll be landing.
I feel like movies are also too fucking long now. That's why I dig your podcast, too. I'm sick of these fucking 4-hour podcasts.
Yeah.
Who is this one that I saw the other day is like, someone was telling me about some new podcast, and I looked through his episode. It was some dude. I don't remember. I'm not saving it. I don't remember who it was. Mm-hmm. And he had this episode like, are you having erectile problems? And I was like, oh, I'll listen to this. And it said it was fucking 4 hours long.
Damn, 4 hours about limp dick?
And I'm just
know.
Like, can you sum that up in 20 fucking seconds?
Yeah, I mean.
Give me the answer.
I'm just not trying to hear everybody talk about limp dicks for 4 hours.
Well, that's what they said the subject of the podcast was. It was 4 hours long.
God damn, let's spin the wheel, man. Yeah.
Oh shit.
Taylor Swift, man. I love Taylor Swift, man. Are you a Taylor Swift fan?
You know what? I'm not a fan, but she just came to Nashville and played the football stadium 3 nights in a mm-hmm. row, so it's hard. Like I said, I don't. Here's the main thing about her. I don't listen to music and go, it's good, but I also am smart enough to know it ain't made for me.
Yeah.
But anyone who can sell out 3 nights at a football stadium, I can't get mad, you know?
I mean, I give her all the props in the world for, you know, what she did to the music industry in general with that whole re-recording all her albums over.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's kind of hip-hop shit is telling the fucking old, So, how much do you hate a fucking record label to redo your album and fuck them over that
to
bad?
The point, yeah, now they trying to do some shit to stop that shit. So, like, she's changed the game in that shit. Do you know what I'm saying? So, I definitely got to give her all the props in the world, man. So, I love Taylor Swift, but I did see that we had Andre 3000 up there, and it made me think, that's a group that rock as hard as fucking... Have you ever been in the Outkast?
Oh, I love Outkast.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I would think, like, that would be the next Run DMC in some sense.
Yeah, but... I think I over-listened to it when it came out.
Yeah.
But I need to listen again.
No, like...
And he never made a solo record, did
no,
he?
No, he's actually releasing a solo album, but it's a flute album. He plays the flute
what?
Now. Yeah, Andre 2000. So it's going to be like a jazz... He plays flute.
Do you think that's a... you're not going to say because you don't want to start any shit.
No,
do you think that's like he had writer's block and doesn't want to do...
No, he always talked about it, that he felt like him with rap music, he's just outgrown it in some sense. And he don't feel like he really have anything to say, which we all believe is the crock of bullshit because he's one of my biggest influences. And I believe he always got something to say. And he just feels like, you know, he's too old to be making hip hop in some sense. But I'm definitely going to check out the flute album. I mean,
yeah.
Anything.
Yeah, he's going to get a lot of shit. Like, feels like he's going to get a lot of shit for
no,
it.
No, people seem to be excited. I mean, to be honest, he's always been an amazing producer. Like on the Love Below, he had a few like instrumental style tracks and shit. So I wouldn't be surprised if the fucking flute album is amazing. You know what I'm saying?
You know why I think it's cool? Because it'd be cool if I loved a flute album.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got to say, in my arsenal right now, I got no flute albums
yeah.
that I listen to. So to have a cool one, it might be kind of cool.
And I just feel like even for what he's doing, it's almost like in some Taylor Swift kind of thing, to be honest. Because you always feel like, I mean, not more so fucking over the record label, but as far as like hip-hop guys, we always feel like we can't do anything else. And, you know, a lot of this music
he had some big acting gigs.
Yeah, but I'm talking about in music. Yeah. And, you know, he made The Love Below, which is one of my favorite albums ever as well. And he switched genres with that shit. He's just a musical motherfucker. And I always say that us being hip-hop artists in general, it's comes from our environment in that sense. Like, a lot of motherfuckers just real musical motherfuckers. If we grew up in the fucking... country neighborhood, we'll be making country. That was just the music of our environment. You know,
I would
saying?
Agree with that. Yeah, and I'm like, now that I think about it, I'll be fucking playing that Andre 3000 flute album real fast.
Yeah,
when it comes
yeah.
out.
I'm gonna check it out because I mean, he's at the end of the day, he's top tier. So it's like I wouldn't for him to be releasing music. It's got to be good. He's not gonna put out anything that's.
I would agree with that. I don't obviously don't know the dude. He's probably a perfectionist too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. So that's what I'm saying. So I'm pretty sure it's gonna be, and like I said, I've already been into fucking like the I wanna say during like the pandemic and like COVID and all that shit, I definitely got more into jazz. Jazz was not a genre that I could say I was fond of.
Yeah, I don't know jazz. Jazz is something I always pretend like I'm into but don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
So like who do you think is the best?
I mean, to me, Miles Davis, obviously, that's like an easy fucking answer, but Ornette Coleman.
I'll listen to all. Yeah, I want to, when people ask if I listen to jazz, I want to say yes, but whenever I say yes, they start asking about shit. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I would say Miles Davis. And then, in the words, for me, it was just always just like what it makes me feel. You know, music is when you got lyrics and shit, you know what they feel, you know. But a lot of that shit, like with jazz, what I really loved about it was like it's open for interpretation.
Yeah, my problem without lyrics, though, is I find that without lyrics, my attention span goes away. And all of a sudden, it becomes background music.
Yeah, no, that's some truth to that. But I think that's the whole vibe of it in some sense, too.
Yeah,
but,
maybe it is.
But in some sense, like the lead, like how with Miles shit is, you know, you listen to him play and it's almost like you feel where he's coming from. It's almost weird to say, like, with the horns. You know
well, maybe I should try that. Pay more attention.
So, yeah.
Space off.
So, it's that. Yeah. So, I really love, I would say, Bitches Brew and, you know. But, yeah. All right. We get ready to get about this motherfucker. Let's spin the wheel one more time. But, yeah. Thank you for coming through, man. No.
Man.
You know how hard it is when you're touring, man, to be fucking making stuff.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And we got right on Andre. So
hey, do you want to talk about Andre 3000 for a second?
Yeah, man. The funniest thing, motherfuckers, I remember Andre 3000 had his own cartoon. Y'all remember that shit?
I never saw it.
Like, he even had his own cartoon.
What was that?
It was like, he was like teaching a music class. It was on Cartoon Network, yeah.
Class of 3000. I did see him in, he played Hendrix.
Yeah, he did Hendrix. I wouldn't say that was the best movie in the world, but.
What's your favorite Outkast album?
My favorite Outkast album would be, I'm always bouncing back and forth between Aquemini and ATLians, but I think it probably would be Aquemini for the most part. But I really do love ATLians. I think, man, Outkast have had one of the best runs of any group.
I would say that, too. What's the one where they're like that? Yeah, that Stankonia.
Stankonia,
that
was, yeah.
That one's really good.
That was I love that album, too, but it took some years for me to appreciate it the right way, you know? But Aquemini, yeah, for me, it's going to be Aquemini. I can't really.
I need to re-listen to that one.
I can't really say, because that's just like the most, that's like top-tier music. Not necessarily even have anything to do with hip-hop to me. Like, that shit can stand. That shit can go blow for blow with any album of any genre.
So when you make your albums, and sorry if I'm asking too many questions, like, no. How involved are you in the music part?
It's all me.
I mean, it's all.
I mean, not far as like production. I'm obviously getting with producers and shit, and they produce shit, and it's just all about me figuring out what I like, and I write songs to them. But I do want to have more hands-on to the production in the future. But no, not far as like the production, I really can't say I have anything. I mean, but
you could say like change that beat.
Yeah, definitely. No, we do a lot of post shit. Yeah, so yeah, that. But a lot of producers, they don't like you fucking with their shit, man.
Really?
Hell no. That's like, they hate that shit, man. So it's certain producers that don't mind. That's like, you know, but it's some people that be like, man, you fucked with my beat. You fucked my beat up, you know.
So there's people, and I always hear this, and I'm more curious about anything. There's guys who do production. There's also guys who just do beats, right?
I mean, production is beats.
It's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing with us.
So,
yeah, but it is a difference between a producer and a beat maker.
That's what I'm saying. Someone's got to do the melody and do all
it
that
took
shit.
I do all that shit, but I'm saying, as far as like producers, to me, it feel like a person that produces that. They'll come to you and be like, you know, this is the concept. This is what I want. They guide you there. We're a beat maker. You just make beats and give it to you. You just make beats.
Yeah, the weird thing that for me, that not weird, but it's different in hip hop, is my first thing is I look for is, as a guy comes from the songwriting world, is who the songwriters are.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look up songwriters in hip hop, it's always like, it's this giant list, because they put everyone who did the sample on the songwriting too.
Yeah.
So it's like, Jesus Christ, this song has like 20 songwriters.
But far as the writing, I'm doing all the writing. And it's not like I have a thing with ghostwriting or anything like
but
that.
But you got to share the credit.
Yeah, with the samples.
With the samples.
Yeah, definitely. But I've been getting more into replays, if anything.
What's a replay?
So, like, we'll sample a beat instead of clearing a sample, just get with musicians, and they just replay the sample.
Yeah, see, I don't understand why everyone doesn't do that.
Yeah, because it loses a feeling, and sometimes it just...
But with the right players, you can make it even better.
Yeah, and that's what I've learned.
Because in my world, all the time, we'll play, like, I don't know, we'll play Eric Clapton and go, we want that kind of beat, and we'll start playing. Mm-hmm. By the time we take three, it's something totally different.
Yeah, and that's another thing, too. And you can switch little shits up and do a lot of shit. So, yeah, I'm getting more into replays, and I think that's where I'm going to be at, where, like, when I make beats and shit, like, me sampling and shit is almost like how you come up with the melody with an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, I'd love to see you live with, like, a band behind
no,
you.
No, we did one with Scaring the Hoes. It was great.
Yeah, but in concert. Would you ever tour with a band?
I mean, we played, like, the big cities, like New York, L.A.
I got five band members right now. It's making me fucking broke.
All right, we got to get up out of here, man. I got to... thank you for coming through, man. It was great
Thanks,
to talk
big
to you,
fan.
Man.
Thanks fun, for having man. Me, man.
But yeah, man. So, love y'all motherfuckers. We see y'all, man. Same time, same channel. You got some shit you want to plug?
Yeah, I want to plug my new record, and I want to plug Taylor Swift's tour. She's out there doing she's out there doing the Eras tour, and I think she's doing the round two of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to make sure she sells out all three nights of every football stadium in America.
Oh, yeah. It's I don't even think, yeah. She good money, but all right. Yeah. Love y'all motherfuckers. Peace.
See y'all.